Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1316. This is your host, Danny Pena. And this year, we're almost done. We're almost finished with this season of Gamertag Radio. And I know we have one more, which is the Game of the Year episode. And just want to go back and let's talk about one of my favorite interviews of this year. I'm only going to talk about three because it's like so many. But top three very, very important interviews that I recorded in this year at events, pre-events, or an event like Summer Game Fest, stuff like that. So I just want to put it out here on this episode. Let me know your thoughts if you agree if these were your favorite interviews that happened here on Gamertag Radio. So it's only top three interviews. All right. So let's go with number three. And again, let me mention a couple of honorable mentions of some of the interviews that I recorded. It's not going to be available on this episode of GTR. So I recorded, there was a couple that I was very, very excited to record. One of them was I had the creator of Tetris. We were talking about the Tetris movie. That was a lot of fun to record. I think it was very, very iconic, that episode. When we sat down with the Insomniac Games about Spider-Man 2, great interview, and it got picked up a lot. It got picked up by a lot of media outlets because of the conversation that we had there. I think Paris just mentioned about something that popped up in the game. I think where, let's say you play with Miles, you play as Miles, and you go to do like a crime activity, and you already see Peter there fighting crime right before you get there, you know, like stuff like that. And it got picked up by a lot of me. That was a pretty good interview. So there was a lot other ones there, but I'm going to pick my top three interviews that I had this past year, which I think was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. To record this here on GTR. So the first one I'm going to go is with, let's see which I'm going to go with here. Cause it was like a lot of big interviews here, man. So let's go with my top three. All right. So number three, this is a big interview that I recorded back a couple months back. This is where I sat down with Respawn Entertainment and we did an interview about Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
I'm Brandon Kelch. I'm the technical design director on the game. So I lead the tech design team and we work on some of the more complicated design systems like the spaceship and lightsaber customization and the skill tree, stuff right. like that.
And you?
My name is Danish Syed. I'm the principal UI visual designer. So I do lots of UI in the game, lots of visual design, like things like the skill tree, customization, the lightsaber customization, things like that.
Have you guys also worked on the first one or no?
Yeah, I worked on Fallen Order. I've been on the team since day one of Fallen Order. So
Matt, so how's it been like the process of adding new stuff in the game from the first one and
it's
this
been
one?
Really, really fun, really exciting. The first project, mm-hmm. I mean, was also amazing. Like, I love that game and I loved working on it, but that was definitely a case of like building the plane while you're trying to fly it. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't have anything. We had to build everything from scratch. Like, there was no world, there was no character, mm-hmm. there was nothing. I think the first thing that I knew we had in the game was a lightsaber. But like, that was it. It was like, mm-hmm. you know, blue sky. There was just so much to figure out. And so then, like, you know, you run so short on like time to flesh that stuff out. And so mm-hmm. this project was really exciting that like we were really happy with a lot of the design from the first game. And so we had a really good groundwork to start from and mm-hmm. build upon. Like, we kept all the same pillars from the first game, like kept agile exploration and thoughtful combat and Star Wars story. And then we added on like customization as a pillar and we like doubled down on that. Mm-hmm. And so that's been really satisfying.
I didn't work on the first game. I came in early on the development of this game. And so I played the first one as a fan, just like yourself. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I remember thinking, like, since it was like a new franchise, like, wow, this is so cool. Like, I can't imagine what they're going to do with the next one. And so I had no idea that I'd be working on it.
That is wild, right?
Yeah, it's wild. And yeah. And I've been really blown away by, like, even just starting early on, like, the scope of it, how big everything got, you know, that was the coolest thing.
I mean, what are the new things we're going to get to see in this game? Because that's a lot, right, compared to the first one. So
yeah, I mean, I think that, like I was saying, everything is expanded. So it's not a full open world game, but Kobo Planet, as you've seen, is, like, enormous. And there's tons of opportunity for exploration and finding side content, way mm-hmm. more than the first game. Customization is another thing that's, again, greatly expanded. That's a huge pillar, like Brendan was saying. So that's the kind of stuff you can see. And of course, you know, more amazing story.
And now Kyle has a nice little beard, right?
Yeah. So lots of different kinds of beards you can choose. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, really? I didn't know that. So
those are part of the cosmetic items that you can unlock.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that.
Hairstyles and beards. Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. And also you could customize BD1.
Yes.
Because I noticed from far away, I was like, wait, is that a pink BD1? Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
face awesome. Plates and body types and ears and legs. Like, yeah, all of it. Color schemes. You can even for the lightsabers, there's like wear and tear. Like, how polished is it? How ancient does it look? Mm-hmm. You know, different components and materials. Yeah. And you can unlock more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, the customization in the last game was really kind of like thrown in very late in the project. It was kind of like, mm-hmm. oh, we need more stuff for chests. And like, oh, we can just change the color of the poncho. And fans really responded to that a lot, very positively. And so
that's cool.
We tripled down on that. Like, you should really be able to build out like your own custom cow that you really like are excited about, and kind of like, and your own custom BD and your own custom lightsaber, and like feel like you've really chosen the character that like you want to play.
I mean, there's going to be people that have never played the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to start right away from the second one?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I don't recommend it. The first game is still really good. Go play it.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic. A classic, yeah.
Yeah, it's still really good. It's great on next gen, on current gen, Gen 5 hardware, too. So I'd go play it. But it's still going to work for sure. Like, we, you know, we still take you through, like, you know, Cal's still gaining new abilities throughout this game as well. So you're still going to get a nice progression. And you're still gonna like connect to the story. Like, it works both ways. You're just gonna get more out of it if you played the first one.
Yeah, seeing the first one, he was learning everything. Right now, he already knows a lot more.
Yeah.
Is he still gonna be discovering new skills also, or what?
Yeah. We're not like resetting him. It's not like you're going back to like, you know, Padawan style. Like, Cal's a Jedi Knight. Like, and we wanted to like retain that progression that you had from Fallen Order, and this game's even like further in the future, right? We've had like a 5-year break, and so Cal's progressed as well, and like he's gonna continue to grow on this journey. We're not gonna just like, that's like part of the gameplay, is unlocking new skills, unlocking new abilities, and yeah, Cal's gonna do that again this time.
What was your favorite thing about working on this project for you guys personally?
That's a tough one. I mean, for me, it's just this was my first Star Wars game. Like working in that sort of IP was really exciting, and working with Lucasfilm was really exciting. And I love, like, I guess to one specific example is I love working on BD's visors, when the binoculars, when you look through BD, like that was a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. If you change the faceplate, it changes to a new visor every time. So there's a bunch of them you can find, you know, customize. Like I mentioned before, the stuff I worked on, I really love an interface that's like immersive and not just menus and text, something that you feel like you're part of the character, you're in the world. Like in the customization screen, when you see those shards around you of like the different hairstyles and different costume pieces, it's the inspiration was Rey in The Last Jedi, where she's seeing in an infinite mirror of herself and different possibilities. So Cal is meditating, he's in this mind palace, this void, and he's imagining other versions of himself. And so that's how we depicted it in the game. So something like that, I'm really proud of, where we can kind of take the UI and make it actually like narrative.
Yeah. And for you?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm really excited about the lightsaber stances. They just have like such a personality to them. And I also like really championed only equipping two at once. Because it's a very meaningful and like it's a very meaningful player choice. I think it creates really interesting gameplay that you have to make this conscious decision on like what two stances you're about. And then also we have skill trees dedicated to them. So you really like invest in that play mm-hmm. style. And it also opens up a bunch of opportunities for replayability where you can change it up.
You can reset it, right?
Yeah, it changes the whole game. So.
Yeah, when I first started, I'm like, man, I don't know which style should I use, mm-hmm. like the dual one, just one lightsaber. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to figure it out. As of right now, I like using both as uh-huh. a dual, right? For you guys, like what is it, the style that you like personally?
Oh man, yeah. I mean, my favorite is, I got to go with the newest ones, like mm-hmm. Cross Guard and Blaster. Why is that?
Probably it's just the style. New. And it looks cool too. Yeah,
they're very cool. But they are like, you know, they're also not only are they the newest, but they feel like they're the most. It's like the furthest at the edge the design is pushing things, because mm-hmm. the single like lightsaber is just so well established. In the Star Wars universe, and even like the staff blade, like those are just very well established. And so, which is great. I mean, there's tons of stuff to draw inspiration from, like tons to work with. And like those stances are like so well fleshed out. But the new ones are like just really exciting, because it's just like, it just That's feels cool. like it's a lot more off the wall. And there's just like a lot more newness to them.
Yeah. And for you? Yeah.
Same thing. The dual blade. It's so like fast and like aggressive. I love that. Cross Guard also. I remember like reading how George Lucas designed the lightsaber. Like the initial design for it, his thought was it was really heavy and like it would, you know, it'd be like this samurai, you know, eventually the movies went away from that. But the Cross Guard is almost like bringing that back of like this very heavy kind of like stoic, deliberate kind of stance, which feels so cool when you're using it.
You know, I'm going to go way back. I remember when I first heard that you guys were working on the first game, I was like, wow, but Respawn, is they're known for, you know, Timefall, which is one of my all-time favorites, especially part two, and, you know, Apex. And I wasn't like, I didn't know it was going to be like a first person, third person, you know, like for you guys, you worked on the first one, the pressure of just like working on a Star Wars game, because man, the fans are very hardcore, very picky, and they love the first one. I think personally, they're going to love the second one for sure.
Yeah, I hope
so far, it's really good. I've been having a blast with it, man. But that's go good. Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope they really like it. Talking about like the third person thing. I mean, that was something we knew we wanted from day one. I mean, a lot of us, Stig and myself and some of the other design directors, we all worked on God of War with him. So that was kind of
another classic.
That's our bread and butter. So like it's not like it came out of left field. It was left field for Respawn for sure. And there was a lot to figure out there, like I said, to build it from scratch. But for a lot of the core team, it wasn't like our first go at it. We do have some like experience on that stuff. And Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in the beginning, honestly, it was a lot more excitement than pressure.
Okay. For me, I'll be sweating, man. Like the pressure. I mean, I get excited working on a big project like that, but it's just like, wow, because it's Star Wars, man.
Yeah, that's I was too excited. You know, maybe I was too young and naive and excited about the lightsaber and the spaceship and planet travel and stuff like that. So the pressure doesn't really. I guess it just didn't set in until it was like too late. And then it was like, oh, well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And I mean, it's been really rewarding, like the fan reaction to it. Like when that game came out, like there's so many people that I've like, you know, met in person or like seen online that like say it's their favorite game of all time. And like, it's totally genuine. I totally believe them. And it's really it's just so rewarding. It's so fun and satisfying. And so, we're jazzed. I mean, we're really excited about this one. It's just so much bigger and better in so many ways. So I'm excited.
What is it that, as a fan of Star Wars, what is it that you want people to know about this game that's so important to you? Is it the combat? Is it a story? Is it just an environment? What is it like?
Yeah, as a game, I think the combat is the thing that I love the most. It's just so much fun. As a kind of bigger Star Wars thing, I think it's what's really interesting about it is the kind of you have this world that exists, this universe that exists, and so this game takes place between, you know, Episode 3 and Episode 4, and people know that like. It's the Empire. The Empire is only getting stronger and, you know, things are looking bad and grim. And so, like, in that world, what stories are there to tell? And so Cal has a really, you know, engaging, interesting story in that kind of universe. And so I think that's really exciting to explore, like, the different stories that exist within that time.
I'll tell you this. No spoilers, I'm not going to mention. But, man, let me tell you, when I finished the first one, my mouth dropped because of the crazy twists, surprises. I was very surprised about that. We're going to see a lot of those in this game. Because if this is bigger and better, there has to be a lot of that,
we got moments like that again.
Oh, okay.
That's part of the formula. We got that, yeah.
Definitely, man. We have two more minutes. Okay. All right, so for you guys... Your favorite character from the first one, the second one, so far.
That's a good question. And we'll go from there. It's got to be Greasy Money, maybe.
He's one of my favorites. Like, I just love his style. You know,
and now he's got the new look, the new hair.
I noticed. Is that like a little chain?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. He's got his cantina. Like he's got his. He's like the bar owner now, and like he's got. Yeah. That's my favorite character. Yeah, for sure.
And for you, and one more question.
I got to go with Grease. Same, but as far as this game, it's all about Turgle.
Okay. All right.
let's start the Turgle hype right now.
Right now. All right. Turgle, cool, man. Awesome. Well, I just want to say, man, thank you so much. For you and the team that invited me here, man. I've been having a blast with the game. I can't wait to play the full version of this, man, the retail version. And I think the fans are going to love this for sure. Awesome. Great job, you guys, man.
Thanks.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
Awesome.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, I know there was a lot more interviews that came out this year that was pretty big too. One that stood out to me also, but it's not in my top three. When I sat down with Colin Kaepernick, we talked about the new game that he was in, Wild Card Football. And we got to play the game and we were just having a conversation. So that was pretty cool. If you haven't listened to that episode, make sure to go right now to episode 1287. To listen to the full interview. So, all right. So my number two, again, we had a bunch. I had Star Wars Outlaws that was pretty big. I did another one with the Sonic team about Sonic Superstars, Prince of Persia, Avatar game, Blue Border Protocol, WrestleQuest, where I had Jeff Jarrett. And then that was a pretty big interview. One of my favorites, Bum Rush Cyberpunk interview.
That one was pretty big. It got a lot of attention from the community. But my number two interview was with the legendary Ed Boon about Mortal Kombat 1, recorded during Summer Game Fest. And this was released on episode 1273. Check it out.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio with your hosts, Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
All right, so we have here the legendary El Dominicano, of course, Ed Boon. Ed, how you doing, man?
Good, good. Always good to see you.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about Mortal Kombat 1. First of all, congratulations. I think the presentation you guys had during Summer Game Fest was really, really cool. Great presentation. My first question is, why Mortal Kombat 1? Why go back? I'm dying to know about this, man. Why you guys made the decision to do this change?
The main reason that we're in Mortal Kombat 1 is, you know, we're resetting the story, basically. Mm-hmm. And we really feel like the title Mortal Kombat 1 really kind of communicates that. It shows that 1 is always the beginning of something. And, you know, Luke, Mortal Kombat 11 kind of reached this kind of apex of, you know, Liu Kang's journey, you know, going from a Shaolin monk all the way to, you know, Fire God Liu Kang. Mm-hmm. And we really felt like, you know, there was nowhere higher to go as far as that's concerned. So we really decided to start over with the story, tell a brand new origin story for all the characters, how they came to be, how their relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. And that was the main catalyst of where the one came from.
And cameos, I noticed that. Right now, the playable demo that we played, Kane is in there, Sonya Blade, right, Jax. They're from like the original, they have the original costume. So, how's that going to work also with cameos? So, I played a little bit today and I was using Sonya the whole time. I noticed that it's not just pressing the R1 button for the character to appear, but you could also do other moves. Like, there's so many different ways to play this time, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that too.
Well, as far as the mechanics of the cameo, one of our main goals was to make it as simple as possible to execute. We didn't want to tie it to a special move or something like that. We really wanted every player to be able to call a cameo at will without really thinking about it much. And as far as those old costumes that you were talking about, where they're in their original Mortal Kombat costumes, those cameo characters are more of like a novelty. You know, like a nod back to the older Mortal Kombat games, and that'll be pretty consistent with how we do these characters. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily, you know, the story element of their.
I was going to ask that.
They're just like, they're for the nostalgia, your memory of what when you first saw Sonya Blade, when you first saw Kano Jax, and that's how we're representing them. The main roster, that's kind of like their story. This version of the game.
So. Campaign is so the campaign we can't use cameo at all. This is more of like versus.
No, you can't. You can use cameo. Yeah, there are a number of cameo characters in the campaign that are exclusive to the campaign. Okay. Like and they're not in the main the cameo roster, so to speak, that you choose from. So the story mode. Introduces cameos. It introduces the concept of them. You really get used to it. There's a bit of a almost like a training element where you get used to how they work, and then, like I said, there's a number of appearances in the story mode cameos that aren't seen anywhere else.
In the demo, there was like a mansion. Is that Johnny Cage's mansion?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
it
I was like, who's the rich guy here? It has to be him. Okay,
no, like in the Hollywood Hills, you could see, I think you could see LA in the distance or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, also for cameos and also the regular characters, Fatality is also included in there too. I thought it wasn't available for cameos too, so that was pretty cool too. So how that, there's multiple or just one type of cameo fatality for each character?
Each cameo has one fatality, and it's normally... an updated version of like a classic one that you've seen before. You know, the Jax getting really big was something we did in Mortal Kombat 3. Mm-hmm. Sonya's kiss was something from the first Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kano's heart rip and all that stuff. So there's, it's like I said, it's the cameos visually, the presentation of them is all about novelty. If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, you're gonna have such a great time with these, you know. And there's some really crazy cameos that we're gonna be introducing in the coming months.
I like that it's very easy to play for newcomers, for people that come in and start trying the game out. Because I remember in the old days, sometimes the fatality was way too hard for me. I'm like, I can't. I'll do the easiest one for me so I could just play along. But it's good to see that you guys made that change. When are we gonna get to see new characters? Also from both from the main roster and also cameos. Is that something that slowly you're gonna little by little you're gonna?
Oh yeah. You know, when you think about it, we're in June right now.
Yeah.
And the game's coming out in September. Mm-hmm. So there's gonna be a very steady stream of new information, new reveals, and a new game mode is coming that we haven't talked about, and there's going to be plenty of every time you turn around, you're going to see a new character or a new cameo or something like that being introduced.
Liu Kang, I know the ending of that one. Basically, this is why we're in Mortal Kombat 1, right? Because of him. So
exactly,
is he the only character that's from the old Mortal Kombat, and this one is more of all the new characters, just brand new story. Is he the only one, or there's going to be other ones too, if you're allowed to talk about it?
I'm cautiously answering it. For the most part, yes, he's the one with any kind of knowledge of the last 11 games of events, and he's using that knowledge sometimes. You know, that's part of the fun of this story mode is. Mm-hmm. He's going to see Shang Tsung taking a path, and he goes, "Wait a minute! I know the damage that he's done in the previous timeline." Mm-hmm. So he's making decisions based on his recollection of that, and it's going to be fun because you, as anybody who's a Mortal Kombat fan and knows the story, is also going to be remembering, "Oh, that's right! These two teaming up here is going to be something that's going to be So It's very cool how we have all these nods to the previous games. But for the most part, Liu Kang is the one who has the memories of that. And everybody else has no memories of like, Scorpion knows nothing of Shang Tsung. Sub-Zero knows nothing of Shang Tsung. Scorpion and Sub-Zero are brothers. Katana Melina have a completely different relationship, too. Mm-hmm.
Now, for competitive players, what new things are they going to see for the hardcore fans with like game mechanics and stuff like that, especially for like tournaments?
The biggest one I think that's going to make the biggest impact is the introduction of the cameo characters, matching them up. You know, that's going to be part of the, not only do you find your favorite character, but then you find your favorite matchup with the cameos as well. Or, you know, if you know that, you know, Sonic Fox is playing Johnny Cage and Kano cameo, you're like, okay, I got to find a pair to counter that. And so that's going to be fun to see that. And then we've added some a little bit more nuanced things, like, you know, you can do combos in the air. You know, the there's much more pop-ups, and it's more of a combo friendly game as well, so we can have longer string combos, more creative things that you can do in the game. So you know, we have this up block new mechanic that's in there. So those players are really going to take that apart, and in addition to the cameos, are really going to come up with it. It's going to play completely different from MK11.
Yeah, I could definitely see the combination of so many different ways to play now because of that. So that's really cool. Now, I know when you're on stage, you're talking about that Van Damme is also finally is going to be in the game. So for those who don't know, he was originally. You guys were trying again for the first game, right?
Yeah, and the very first game we wanted to call Van Damme. The video game.
Yeah,
right?
That never happened. Yeah. It took so long. What happened, man? Why it took so long? Was it more from your side? It was more just.
Well, it certainly wasn't from our side. We were the ones who wanted to get him.
Yeah.
But he was. I think this was about the time of the movie Bloodsport, around that time. So, you know, his career was really going up, and but for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. And over the years, we've pinged them, you know, hey, how about now? You know, like as
for
we go through
years,
the PS2.
30 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And yeah. It just never happened. Yeah. And then I don't know if it was from our nagging, you know, we got him to do it, and he's doing voice stuff for it too.
So you were there during the recording?
No. He had to do it remotely. Yeah. He had a lot of limitations. And you know, COVID restricted a lot of stuff like that. So we really had to orchestrate, okay, he's going to be in Hong Kong on this day and we'll get a studio. And, you know, it, like, I don't even know if that's where we ended up doing it, but it was orchestrated very carefully.
That's really cool. It's like full circle, man. You know, it is, right?
That's exactly what it is.
I love that. I love stories like that, man. And is he excited? I mean, what was it besides the business side, but like, he knew about Johnny Cage, like he was like ready, or you guys gave him like.
I like to think by this time he's heard.
I hope so.
That Mortal Kombat he has like some connection to it. I've never heard him talk about it or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that he, you know, remembers it and is like, okay, let's make it happen, kind of thing.
Look at that. So Van Damme used to be Guile for Street Fighter the movie.
That's right. That's right. And now some people don't. Yeah, he's played Guile and Johnny Cage.
Yeah. Awesome. But no, Ed, I just want to say congrats once again. Thank you for the opportunity, and I can't wait for the game officially comes out later this year, right? September,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, 19th, I think.
19th.
It is. Yeah.
There you go, guys. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So this is a big one. This is a big one. My number one favorite interview that I recorded this year. And there was a lot. There was a lot. But this one stood out to me because, one, this was like the most anticipated game for me of 2023. And that was Alan Wake 2. So I did two interviews with Sam Lake. One was during Summer Game Fest. With also Kyle Rowley, he was also involved with the game, and that was a great conversation. But I feel that when I sat down with Sam Lake, just himself, we had a great, great interview overall about the game. And this took place during an in-person event here in Los Angeles. Sam Lake and the team that were here. And we got to play the game early and everything. And I sat down with him behind closed doors. Shout out to Paris for recording this, helping me record on this on video. And it was a great conversation. So this is my number one interview out of the whole year. And this with the legendary Sam Lake about Alan Wake 2.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. And once again, we have Sam Lake here, and we're going to be talking about Alan Wake 2. Sam, once again, I know I got to see you at Summer Game Fest. Great conversation. One of my favorite interviews I did during that time. Great conversation about the game. How you doing, man? I know it's getting close to the release of the game.
It's both wonderful and nerve-wracking, and also there is an element of exhaustion, like such a long road, so much work has gone into this, and the final stretch is always a bit of a crazy rush, bugs to fix, polish to be done.
Yeah.
It is great to be able to show this now to people, and the reception has been very, very positive. That's also really, really important to the team back home, still kind of like needing to keep on working on it. Yeah. A boost of energy for sure.
I noticed, because I also got the opportunity to play the game and everything. So I played with Saga, also with Alan. Very different than the first game, but at the same time, it made me take my time, read the stuff that I discovered. It's very different than the first one. The first one, I would just go to the location, get the items, and then read later.
Yeah.
This one, you have to read there at the moment. So why the change? Why you wanted to make this very different than the first game?
Well, 13 years in between. It's a long time. Video games have evolved. We as the makers have changed. A lot of experience, a lot of learnings along the way, and a lot of build up ambition for this, trying to make this happen, and now finally being able to do it. We wanted to be really ambitious with interactive storytelling. really, really have a focus on the story and bring it clearly closer to gameplay as well. Having mechanics like, you know, Saga's investigation, Alan's rewriting reality, having them be actual, like, they're very much you engaging with the story, but it's also gameplay. So you are actively doing things related to the story. And that ambition was there. I don't like it is different, and yet I do feel that this is very much a Remedy game, and there are many kind of like elements from the world of original Alan Wake that is still very much present in this.
So, I mean, one of the first things that happened to me while just walking around, I went to the bar right at the beginning of the game of the demo. I saw the janitor there from Control. What's up with that? What's up with that? whatever you could say about it, I can
talk about it for sure.
Sure.
Obviously, like if in Control you complete all of Ahti janitor side missions, as a reward you get a postcard from him. At this point he's already gone from the oldest house because he wants to go for his summer vacation.
Sure.
And he disappears. And then you get a postcard, and that postcard says, "Greetings from Watery, Washington, America's Little Finland." Mm-hmm. And he is on a porch of sauna, you know, having a towel around his waist, drinking a bottle of beer. So that was a promise that we are delivering on. Now, we already established in first Alan Wake that Watery is the neighboring town to Bright Falls. And in this one, we do discover that Watery was founded a century earlier by Finnish immigrants over logging and fishing industry, which is an echo of reality. There are these places in the Pacific Northwest. So a lot of these connections to Finland and Finnish culture more than before, but also like maybe it's the added years making me feel nostalgic, and also realizing that we, like in Finnish culture, we have a lot of things that you know are not globally known but are really unique and exotic that we can tap into. So yeah, Ahti makes a comeback here. This is a Remedy connected universe, connecting Alan Wake and Control. They are part of the same world, so they are present. These elements are present in this. Ahti has an interesting role to play in this experience. Not going to spoil anything, but you will find him in surprising places.
Yeah, I notice when I'm walking around the town and I start talking to people, they're very different than the first time I got there playing as Alan Wake. What happened during that time that a lot of them very, very different, very weird act? It's not like the enemies, you know, you attack with the flashlight, but they act very, very different now. You know, is something happened between part one and now that the people in the town has changed around that time or no?
13 years is, yeah, a long time. Things change. Obviously, in the first game, we never visited Watery. This part that you were playing takes place in Watery, Saga coming there for the first time to discover the place. I feel that kind of spiritually, the idea of quirky small town setting with these kind of very colorful personalities of different kinds was part of the first game and for sure is part of this. But it's some of them are the same characters, some of them are very different characters, and when it's the same characters, it's still 13 years of life in between. So things have changed. Yeah.
Now, while playing now Alan Wake, I got to see a lot of puzzles of a couple of things I noticed. One was scratch, a lot of graffiti of scratch everywhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And also posters of Alice Casey. So it was, I got to see that a lot in the game. Why is it so important to see that from Alan Wake's point of view and not from Saga?
Well, Alan Wake is trapped in the dark place. And dark place is kind of this dream reality or nightmare reality. And we do establish very fast that Alan Wake being there and having been there for a long time, he is affecting the reality intentionally and unintentionally around him. Mm-hmm. So he used to live in New York City. For years and years, he wrote Alex Casey books set in New York City. And now the dark place around him takes the shape of this nightmare New York City. Very much it is psychological horror, and the idea is that it's almost like his thoughts and his fears, and most definitely the fiction he is creating, is affecting his surroundings. So how you should be approaching it is that everything has a meaning. Everything seems to be coming from him. You know, Alex Casey is his creation, so Alex Casey is haunting this city in many ways. He fears his dark double scratch. Scratch is present in many ways around him. Mm-hmm. So we set out to create an experience. Well, graffiti, posters, signs, everything has a meaning and everything is talking about his mind.
So one of my co-hosts, Paris, I know he asked this question. So earlier during the panel, for those that just started playing or they forgot, because it's been so long playing the first game, are there going to be a way where they could learn the lore of these characters I just mentioned right now?
Yeah.
For them to get up to date, like, okay, I get it now, what's going on? Or do they have to start playing as Saga to find out everything out with the villains, you know, as Alan Wake?
Yeah, like the experience starts with you playing as Saga. That's the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. Once you proceed far enough, then we'll open up Alan Wake's side in the dark place. So the idea very much is there that Saga as a character doesn't know anything about the supernatural background or history in this world. Mm-hmm. But she's a fast learner. And players are fast learners as well. So together with Saga, you will learn and go through the basics of the setup. And only then kind of we will dip you into the craziness around Alan Wake.
Yeah.
This is self-contained enough that you don't need to know anything. You can go in, you can enjoy it, you can understand it. That's kind of one of the fundamental design things. Like a good analogy of this is that if you think about Control, and Federal Bureau of Control investigating all of these crazy things in the world.
Yeah.
And you find these case files of these different events. Some of these case files are about Alan Wake. And in that case, if you have played Alan Wake, you go like, oh, it's talking about that thing and I get it and I know a lot of it. Many of them we just invented specifically for Control. And then when you read these case files, you are not lost. You are like, oh, that's a fascinating concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to learn more about this someday. But for now, like, I got these, you know, ideas and I'm moving on. I think that is a good example of connected universe in the sense that in this sequel, Alan Wake 2, you will find details that are pointing towards Control, pointing towards the original Alan Wake, but they are self-contained enough that you get like, oh, that's a cool idea. I don't know what kind of is behind it. I enjoyed it on its own, and I'm moving on. But for the returning fans coming back in, there is suddenly a whole added world of meaning to these things, and suddenly even some new information on like, I never thought about that from this perspective. That's really interesting, and kind of like, of course, you can go and play Alan Wake Remastered, play Control, you know, just go crazy. Mm-hmm. You won't maybe have time to do that before we release this game. But I think it works just the same. If you play this, if you love it, then you can go back to those earlier games and find out what these things were all about.
Yeah, see, like when I play with Saga, the demo, I noticed that there was things that were very new to me, but with Alan, it's stuff that I related to that, right? So my last question is, how do you guys manage to balance that out for like the newcomers and also the hardcore fans to understand the story and learn new things about both characters and new stuff that we haven't never discovered from the first game?
Yeah, it is a balancing act. This is a new story as a whole. This is a new story. It goes forward. It doesn't really dwell on our previous games. It does connect to them, but we are advancing, and that's the main thing. And Alan Wake's side might feel like it kind of like is deeper into that lore. But how we take you to the beginning of Alan Wake's experience, we actually cover quite a lot of these basics there as well from the get-go. And then you are ready to kind of go forward.
Yeah. Sam, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I love the demo. Very different from the first game. But the thing that I love about this game is like I'm taking my time. Now I'm reading. Because the first one, it was more... I'm just moving.
It was an action game.
Yeah.
This is a horror experience.
Horror game. Yeah.
Slower pace.
But also mystery too.
Yes.
Yes.
There is a lot of mystery.
Yeah.
Yes.
But great job. And I can't wait to play the full game, man. So
thank you.
I can't wait. Can't wait. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
No problem. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode of Gamer Tag Radio. It's all top three interviews, I mean, of here in GTR. There was a lot of interviews. We released so much content this year, so much content. And I'm really, really proud that we did that. Also, I got to mention, you know, interviewing with Turn 10 about Forza Motorsport. That was a lot of fun. To, you know, all the games that we reviewed, Spider-Man 2. We got to play, Assassin's Creed Mirage. Playing that, you know, my panel that I did with Respawn Entertainment during Hispanic Heritage Month, that was a lot of fun. There's so much content for you guys to go back and listen to. And I just want to say thanks to everybody that gave us the opportunity to attend all these events, to interview, to get these games early during this year. And I think 2024 is going to be a bigger, bigger year. So much more content. Who knows if there's going to be like the new Nintendo Switch console is coming out next year, but I've been having a great time recording this content with Peter and Paris. So everyone, thank you for listening to this special episode. We're going to be back here next week with our final episode of the year, Game of the Year. Great conversation I had with Paris and with Pete. I think you guys are going to like it. And which one were all our favorites? Our favorite games. Remember, we never agree with our top five picks and everything. So check it out. It's going to happen next week. It's our final episode of GTR. And we'll be back next year with more content. So thank you, everyone. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.